Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
This is a photo of my family. It's not so bright. It's my family and some other family that joined us. It's a family dinner we had recently, well, a couple of months ago. Now, you can't see, but the little one there in the corner, can you see the little one there in the middle? That's Emily. She's almost two. She's turning two in November. And she's basically thinks she's in charge of the home. So she runs around, and she's got a little finger, and she waves, and she's decided she wants to potty train. Yeah, normally, we only start thinking about that when they're roughly 2.5, well, in our house, and apparently some cultures do it at 6 months. Don't know how that works, but in any case, so she's decided she wants to do this now. She wants to go to the loo. She doesn't want to go to a potty. She wants to sit on the toilet, which means we have to hold her, obviously, otherwise she'll disappear down there, because she's quite small still. So it's been really funny the last week and a half, because now she's very proud that she's sometimes not wearing nappies, and she wants to show everybody, which is embarrassing a bit as well. But what sometimes also happens is she can feel something's coming, but she can't discern yet what is it going to be. You know, so she just says, pee pee, and then we run. You know, put her on there, and then we're like, okay, what's going to happen next? We don't know. We don't know what's coming. So sometimes it's just bottom noises, you know? Just one or two little noises, and then she says, claw. So I'm like, okay, so we did all of that just for a little noise that came out. But in any case, she's amazing. She's got this funny move that she does when Adonai's combed her hair, you know, combed it nicely through. I don't know why she does it. I think maybe she tries to keep it in that, so she goes like this. And she walks like this for a few minutes. Just I don't know. We haven't figured it out yet, but you know, if you see her walking like this, you know, you know why. In any case, praise the Lord for children. Hallelujah. So, did we take up the offering now? We did. Okay, great. Such a privilege to share the word this evening. And let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you that we can spend this time in your presence. And we thank you that truly you are here. And we thank you that you know each one of us. And our desire this evening is truly to meet with you. Truly to be transformed. To see that your name be glorified in us and through us. So we commit ourselves to you. We commit this time to you and to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at a whole bunch of different angles, looking at Acts chapter 2, and we've been looking at the first New Testament church, and it's been really inspiring and challenging at the same time. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago we had the fast. We fasted together and prayed together, and how the Lord really clearly directed us in the direction of saying, I want you to be building community. I want you to understand and grow in what it means to love one another. And build a community, and not only love within the community, but also love outwards, right? So this is what's been happening, and we've been reading and looking at Acts and looking at different building blocks. So this evening I want us to look at a specific thing around that. Last week Pastor Philip spoke about shared purpose, which is really encouraging. If you missed that, if the recording isn't on yet, it should be on soon. But yeah, I want us to testify from my own life around that. You know, I remember I was already a Christian for a bunch of years. Maybe 8 or 9 years, and I thought I was pretty pretty mature, but I actually wasn't really. I was just a bit clueless. But I remember, you know, joining church in Stellenbosch Shofar, and it was the first time that I actually, at my own choice, decided I wanted to become a member of a church. And part of that was because I wanted to go on a mission trip, you know, so the motives weren't so great. But I chose to submit myself under leadership, and the Lord really was working in my heart. And that specific mission trip, cycling around the country and praying for the country, the cycling bit was actually more what I was interested in at that point. And I thought, wow, you know, cycling 5,000 kilometers around the country, that sounds like a great plan. I thought, praying is also cool, we can do that on the way. So the Lord really worked with my heart there in the beginning and sorted out my motives. But I really found myself, when I look back, I realized that something really precious happened in my heart on that trip. Because for the first time, I found myself part of a body of believers, in absolute agreement and unity around what God had called us to do. Obviously, once I'd sorted out my issues around the motives, but in agreement about what God had said, pursuing that purpose with everything we had in us, literally laying down our lives every day, dying to the flesh, having to go to the end of what is possible physically, and really having to tap into what God's provision beyond what's possible physically. And I saw daily God's supernatural provision, God's abundance for every good work, God's presence with us. And that dynamic of unity and purpose and a shared purpose and God's supernatural presence and miracles happening really opened my eyes to something that I believe is part of the normal Christian life. For me, at that point, it was a new thing. But I really believe God has designed us for that, being part of a community, being part of a body, being part of a family of believers that are in agreement around where God is taking us, and what God has called us to do, and experiencing His presence and His provision in such a powerful way. And I just wanted to mention that. That was last week's message, at least. But this week, we're going to look a little bit at Acts chapter 2 again. And let's just read that before we continue. Thanks. Yeah, I mixed up the scriptures there, so we're going to start there. I left my laptop at home and my notes, so just bear with me. I'm going to read from the screen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And we've been looking at a whole bunch of different aspects of this. And this evening I want us to look at specifically at the place where they were having fellowship with one another. They were breaking bread. They were meeting from house to house. They were eating food together with simplicity of heart, with joy and gladness. And they were just having amazing times of fellowship, and just, you know, not only in a bigger context like this, but also from house to house, also meeting in smaller groups and fellowshipping and having meals together. And we see that this is something we see a lot in the New Testament, but also we see it in the life of Christ, how He was often criticized for who he associated with. He was criticized with about, you know, look, why is he having dinner with that guy? Why is he visiting that guy's house? Why is he eating with those people? People could think, oh, he can't do that, you know. Maybe somebody that's not supposed to be respected, you know, maybe a prostitute or some tax collector, somebody that's clearly a sinner. Why is Jesus spending time with him? Why is he eating with him? And that we see him connecting with people in such a powerful way. He's getting into people's space. And we see that powerful dynamic of fellowship and having a meal together. And we see lives transformed. We read in the scriptures and the gospels around this. And so we're looking at what is the power of us sharing meals together, the power of us fellowshipping together, the power of us not only in this context, but also with others that are not yet part of the household of faith. There's something special that happens when we open our home, right? There's something special that happens when we prepare a meal for somebody. We go through, make an effort, and we minister to one another in that way. I remember when I was staying in England, the one Christmas there was we had a big dinner for everybody in church. There was in town, mostly people disappear over the Christmas season, you know, people try and find some warmer weather somewhere. Try and just break the long winter, you know, find a bit of light and blue sky somewhere. And at that point we were there, so we were holding the fort, and we organized this dinner, and this one lady hosted the dinner, and she's really gifted in hospitality. And I remember at that point friends of ours in Switzerland let us know that their neighbor's daughter is appearing in London, and she's all on her own. She's a new place for her, and we said, well, she must join us. And she just left school, so we're quite young, and we're all done of student age. And I drove like halfway across London to collect her, and we brought her back. And it was quite a mission, but we thought, no, man, she must be part of this. And we took her to the dinner. But this lady is really gifted in hospitality, like my wife as well. She really knows her stuff around that. I'm still learning. You know, when I got married, my hospitality was like limited to, you know, like, if you're lucky, a cup of tea with milk. And if there was milk, you know, and if you really go next level, maybe toast or 2-minute noodles, you know. But now I'm really getting there. I can make different kinds of toast. And but Anna's got, I don't know if for those that have been around to our place, you know that she does, she is gifted in this area. But what was I going to say? Oh yeah, she's taught me that it's not only important what it tastes like, it must look good as well. Who knew, eh? And so, you know, with us guys, if there's lots of food, and it's like you can get it down your throat, that's fine. As long as there's lots, you know. That's not true. There's a lot of good chefs out there that are guys. In any case, so these days I can make coffee, and I can even make it sort of pretty as well. Eh? In any case, so this girl joins us, and this lady had really gone next level. This hostess, she had different courses prepared, right? Like six. Oh. And in between the courses, there were little games and activities that were prepared. Yeah, next level. And the decor was amazing, and their house was really geared towards this kind of thing. But besides all of that, it was such a precious time because it was like family. And all of us were far from our extended family, you know, living in the UK, and all of us, this was at that time of the year that you want to be with family, and it was just a great time. And on the way home, I know what happened is this lady, our friends let us know, she is open, but they're not believers. They don't go to church. On the way, taking her home again, like, she was just asking lots of questions, and she said she'd never experienced something like that. And you could see how the Holy Spirit just ministered to her in such a powerful way. Just through that dinner. She was asking stuff, and she was questioning this and that. And she said she really has a... And it became clear that she really has a desire for godly fellowship. And she started visiting a church in the where she stayed, and soon I heard that she'd been at church regularly, and the Lord had made it, just transformed her life. And obviously there was something, a lot of happened before that, but I was just again reminded how something as simple as somebody that has gone through some trouble and invited somebody into their space and had a meal together, how they can really minister to so powerfully to someone. Amen. So I want us to look at a whole bunch of scriptures around this and just some principles. I'm really trusting Holy Spirit to drop something in our hearts around this concept. Okay, Romans, I think it's Romans 12, the next one. That's what I have in my notes. Yeah, Romans 12. Let's read from verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Just pause quickly. The context here, Romans 12, starts with Paul writing. He talks of us being living sacrifices, right? Living sacrifices. He says that we should not be conformed to the world, but we should be transformed. Right, you remember that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Transform the renewing of our mind. And he goes and he starts talking about what does it mean to live like a Christian? What does it mean to live like a Christ follower? What are the basics? What does the basic Christian life look like? And then he gets to verse 10. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's a good one. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. And the list goes on. But he says this is basic stuff, guys. This is part of the normal Christian life. Have you read that book? It's a really good book, by the way. It's called The Normal Christian Life. I think it's Watchman Nee. Okay, it's a really challenging book. But here he says, this is a basic part of following Christ, is learning how to open your space to somebody else, learning how to prepare and bless somebody. And it doesn't have to be six courses like we had that year. I don't know, it could have been seven, I don't know. I can't remember. It doesn't have to be like that, but the principle here is for us to recognize that there's a powerful dynamic when we open up our space to somebody else. When we invite somebody in there, we share a meal together, even if it's not in your home, share a meal or a coffee, it could be something simple. There's something there that God is part of our us following Christ and growing in community. Okay. Secondly, in 1 Timothy, we see Paul writing to Timothy here, and he's talking about requirements for Christian leadership, for church leadership, right? So elders or overseers or church leaders. He says, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, husband of one wife. So good tip there, guys. One wife. I can 100% agree with that. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, and then the list goes on. So before he says able to teach or preach or anything like that, he says he must be hospitable. So he says, if you want to be in leadership in church, this is going to be part of your life. This is going to be a normal part of following Christ, is inviting people into your space, sharing meals with people, reaching out to people around being hospitable. So I know some guys are getting really worried now. How can we ever be in leadership? Don't worry, guys. There's lots of hope for us. And it doesn't have to, like I said, it doesn't have to be seven courses. Even, you know, sometimes when we have somebody for coffee, and the coffee's amazing, and Anna bakes something, and that is amazing. It's just a miracle that I'm not double my size. I'm really working on it. But in any case... And then, like the other day, we say, guys, why don't you stay for dinner? And we're like, oh, no, we don't have anything in the fridge. Wait, there's something there. And let's just have, we're just going to have hot dogs. Is that fine? Yeah, we're going to have hot dogs. And then we have a great time having hot dogs or horse rolls or whatever it was. But it's great because it's with family, right? And kids are going ballistic, and it's just amazing. And I remember, you know, or even something like a coffee. Start something simple. Take a colleague for a coffee or buy them a lunch. I remember when I was at varsity, I was first year in res, in Helswoogte. For a moment I thought I heard the angels. But anyway, guys, I was in Helswoogte in Stellenbosch, and I was there on the military floor. And if you have, now keep in mind, this is already a couple of years ago. Those days, we still had something like, what do they call it, Afrikaans initiation. So we had normal initiation, and then we had the military initiation, which happened after the normal initiation. The normal initiation ended at 11 because that's the rules of the university. And then after that, we sealed off the floor. Literally, nobody could see in, and then we did the military one. Okay, I won't go into detail of that. I've still got scars of that one. But that's the context. Now, I'm first year, and there was this guy in the third year. We became good friends. His name is Ross. And he used to... he found out I'm also a Christian, and he invited me to church, and we started connecting. But me being a first year and him being a senior, already that was not the norm, right? And then he used to wake me up every morning with coffee. Yeah. That we could pray together. So we prayed together most mornings, and he would come to my room, and he would wake me up, and we'd have coffee and fellowship, and we'd pray. And we'd pray for the res, and we'd pray for lots of stuff. And, yeah, guys, it's such a powerful thing, because him, that was not the norm, right? But just him going through that effort and reaching out to me, he's now the pastor in Durbanville. He actually planted this church in 2003. And it's just incredible to see what God has done just from those early days. But something as simple as that, something as simple as reaching out to a first year, making them a coffee, spending time with them, investing in each other's lives, praying for one another, it's really powerful. So it doesn't have to be 7 courses. Okay, relax, guys. For us guys, sometimes it just needs to be something with a fire. Hey? Yeah, if there's a fire there and you can burn something on the fire and eat it, then we're having great fellowship. Amen? I remember visiting a friend of mine in Stellenbosch. Now, we were very poor, okay? We were poor students. We spent all our money on outreaches and stuff, so we didn't have much. But his parents had a farm in the Kalahari, sheep farm. So one thing he always had was meat, okay? So one day I was there at his house. He was my accountability partner. And he said, why don't you just stay for lunch? And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. What does this mean in his house, you know? And he says, we're just braai. So I said, yeah, let's braai. And then because meat was something I never had, you know, that was just expensive. But he always had meat. He never had anything else, but he had meat. And then... So he brought out this huge pack of chops, literally like this, and he made a fire, and we sat with the plate between us piled like this, and that was amazing. Yeah, that was our lunch. We didn't have cutlery or anything, we just sat there. But I remember that because it was such an amazing time. Amen? So guys, don't worry, we can keep it simple, okay? Okay, let's have a look at the next one. 1 Peter 4. Peter writing about the end times, right? People approaching the end times. He says, but at the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Okay, so there's a few places in Scripture we've been talking about the signs of the end times. What are we going to have to see? And kind of encouragements around that, what to look out for, what's going to be important. And he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Isn't that amazing? He says, we always think, you know, in times we must pray lots and we must be sharp in the spirit, and there's lots of false teachings going around and deceiving stuff and false prophets, so we have to really be focused. But he says, guys, hospitality is going to be really important. Getting into each other's space, spending time together, sharing meals, fellowshipping with one another. There's such a lot that happens when we have meals and when we spend time together. You know, as a family, it can get really busy in our house. You know, we've got Abby's just turned 6, David is 3, Emily is 1, turning 2. And to get those 3 to sit still around the table for 5 minutes, you know, it's really sometimes a challenge. But we have these straps. You know, I'm just joking, but we... But I'm so blessed because Erna really goes through a lot of trouble for us to have meal times as a family. It's so precious, guys. And even, you know, sometimes we have Bible school 6:30 or small group or something, but then sometimes we eat like 5 o'clock or something, you know, or 5:30, and it's, but we're into that routine now, so that's fine. But we sit down and we have a meal together. And that's going to be part of our family until we die, right? Because there's such a precious time there. There's time to reflect on the day. There's time to ask what's going on. Now, obviously, our kids are small still, so the conversation is funny and it's a bit weird sometimes. And the stuff we talk about is not always something I can repeat from the pulpit, you know. But just because the kids, toddlers just have a different kind of humor. But in any case, but it's so precious because we can hear how was the day, what happened. And we can, in the mornings is also cool. What is going to happen? What are you afraid of? Something the other morning, Abby wasn't keen on doing hockey, so we could talk about that. Why she's not keen about hockey? And anyway, we could encourage her. But that's precious time, right? There's encouragement that happens. There's sometimes teaching moments that pop up, a scenario, and then we can speak into that scenario. We can, you know, we can direct or encourage or admonish. Sometimes it's just place a little bit of accountability. It doesn't often start there, right? Sometimes when you have the first coffee with somebody, you're not going to have a very deep conversation, maybe. But when you've done it a couple of times, and there's amazing stuff that happens, you know, people's hearts open, and we can have meaningful times together. Amen. Encouragement, transparency, fellowship, accountability happens around those precious times, right? Okay. And this is one of those things that is, I reckon, even if you don't have a family yet, or even if just do that with your friends, or make time with your small group to have a meal together. This is why we encourage it in small groups, to have meals. I know it's not always practically possible, but we do encourage it. And even if it's not something that you do regularly as a small group, consider making it a thing now and again. Have a great big meal together, get a big table. I know some of the guys will just, you know, like Yanko and I, just have some chops or something. But, you know, just do it. have a meal together, or go somewhere for a meal. Have a lunch together. I remember that when I was studying, and just after I finished studying, I was actually working on campus. My office was on campus. And we used to have lunch in the food court area. And there were all kinds of outlets. But then there was a general seating area that was kind of free for all. You could sit wherever. And one of my favorite things was to go and grab a meal or take my packed lunch and then kind of scan the area. And then if I found a guy sitting on his own, I just kind of say, how's it? You know, can I sit here? And then we'd start chatting, and then we look again, we're having a meal, we're sharing a meal, right? And I just found that even with somebody that you just met, even if just somebody just having a chat and with this and that, trusting God, obviously that was my whole point, is I prayed beforehand, I said, Lord, you know, is there somebody that you want to minister to? And then to just allow Holy Spirit to direct the conversation. And when you look again, we're talking about God, we're praying together, or you know, I've sat there, and it's called the Neil C. I've sat there with guys in front of me crying, tears streaming on their face because the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts. And it started with just me sitting down and saying, can I sit here and can we talk to them? You know, we underestimate the power of trusting the Holy Spirit, opportunities to minister to one another over a coffee or a meal. Amen. So make it part of the culture. Make it part of the small group. Make it part of what we do. You know. Right. Let's have a look also there's a few things that are illustrated when we have these kind of times together. Let's have a look at, I think it's Matthew 25. It was 34. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the response is, when did we do all these things? We can't, you know, we didn't do all these things. And then they said, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. There's something really powerful that's happening there. Jesus is saying, your love for me, your affection for me, and your devotion to me is illustrated in the way you treat other people, in the way you are hospitable to others, in the way that you care for others. It's clearly speaking about brethren, so there is an aspect of the family of faith there, but it also refers to, you know, him being a stranger and being taken in. So there's both of those dynamics there. Isn't that a challenging? I mean, Jesus says, listen, the way that you love me is visible through the way that you care for those that need care. Those that are in need. But that's a really powerful illustration, and that's why it's crucial for us for that to be part of our culture. Now, I want to quickly look at Luke chapter 14. A bit of a typo there, so that's 14, not 15. From verse 12, and then he said to him, invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they can't repay you. For you shall pay it at the resurrection of the just. So he's saying, guys, bless the fellowship together, but don't only do that. Isn't it true that sometimes we invite somebody hoping that they're going to invite us back? Or you stick somebody for a coffee and trusting next time it'll be lunch. It'll just happen to be lunchtime. It'll be their turn, right? Like, and there's something, you know, we're expecting an invitation. But he's saying, when you're ministering to somebody, don't always invite those that can actually reciprocate. Go out of your way to invite somebody that is not able to reciprocate. Not somebody that is not your neighbor or your relative or your family or friend. Something that it is in need that it can't reciprocate. You know? So there's a really powerful dynamic there when you minister to those needs. And also another, so our love for Christ is illustrated. But then what's illustrated in this one says, God's grace toward us in salvation is illustrated when we are hospitable and when we care for others when it's undeserved or it cannot be reciprocated. We are illustrating the grace of God toward us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because it's something that we cannot deserve. It's something we cannot earn. It's something we cannot reciprocate. It's undeserved. It's something we can't pay for. We can't return the favor. Are you with me? So that's a really powerful illustration that when we reach out in this way, we are demonstrating that grace of God that is manifested on the cross. And He gives His Son, and He knows He never ends. He gives His Son, and knows many will reject Him. He gives His Son, even knowing that many will not receive Him, and knowing that at that point, most people there were against Him. But He still gives His Son. And that is illustrated when we go outside of our comfort zone, when we invite beyond our circle, when we go, another part, it said, go to the highways and the byways and where there's real needs. And guys, I want to re-encourage you. Sometimes it starts just in your street. We've just a couple of months ago moved into a new area, and you know how it goes. You got the remote control for the gate. When it works, it's a real blessing. In any case, I've got a mind of its own at the moment. It's a hit and miss. You never know what you're going to get. So, but when it works, so you're kind of, you're driving into the driver, the gate opens, and you see your neighbor across the street, and you just kind of do a, how's it? I don't have a clue who you are. I know you live across the street. I've seen your face. But how's it? And cheers, and yes, there. Oh, the gate's closing. Yes, cool. Have a good day, type of thing, and you're in. And the next time when you come out, it's just like, you know, just while you're rushing to work or something, or class or something like that. And how easy is it for it to stay there? Just to kind of, I don't know your name. I kind of know your face and I know your car, but that's about it. But we've just been amazed by how just some small things make a huge difference. You know, inviting somebody over for coffee, when Aaron has baked something, taking some extras to the neighbors. One of our neighbors in England, every time we did this, now obviously Anna's baking is really good, so that helps. But I just remember the first time when we took something to their door, because we'd also seen each other, we'd kind of gotten to know the names, but there wasn't a lot going on. And then once or twice we'd take some stuff over. I just saw the guy's face was like, completely out of his frame of reference, like bold, middle stump. You know, he doesn't know what to say. He's like, you know, and speechless. But I just know that, you know, just little gestures like that go a long way. And we've seen it now in our new community, getting to know the people, going beyond just the wave, inviting somebody for coffee and maybe something else. And just guys, opening hearts, opening. People responding to the grace of God. People hearts opening so that there are opportunities for us now to minister to people. It starts with something simple. So that grace is so powerful demonstrated. And there's an interesting thing in Galatians 2, which we're not going to read now, but where we see that the unity of the body of believers that we're talking about there was that they having meals together was a kind of a clear sign or illustration of that unity, because there was a place, there was a time when there was a disagreement among the apostles, right? And there was some people of different opinions. Can you imagine? They were also human. And they had some differences in opinions, and they had some disagreements, and they have to sort it out amongst themselves. But while that disagreement was happening, Peter, in one instance, refused to eat with the other guys. Can you see that because of that disagreement, and because there wasn't unity at that point, they couldn't share a meal. So having that meal together and being able to have that fellowship is really something that really builds, illustrates and also builds the unity that we have amongst one another. Isn't that amazing? So that it's another very important aspect of it. Right, I want to close with another one. Yeah, Luke chapter 19. Let's read there. So this is Jesus coming into town, and there's this guy called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus has a problem. My wife has the same problem. She's that vertically challenged, right? So he's short, you know, he can't see, so he makes a plan. But look, this is not a problem, guys. I love my wife to bits, okay, so just... I have a suspicion, though, that Emily has inherited some of those genes. Anyway, so Jesus comes into town. Zacchaeus, he wants to see what's going on. Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's not popular, right? He steals from people. He overcharges people. He overtaxes people. He just takes what he can, and he rips everybody off. Lots of corruption happening. He's very rich. Everybody hates him. No friends type of scenario. And so let's take it from verse 5. And when Jesus came into the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He was sitting in the tree. For today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. It's not what he expected, right? He just wanted to see from far. He got into a high place, got into the tree. He just wanted to see because he'd had enough rejection, right? He'd been cast out, obviously, but it was his own fault. But he was not expecting Christ to know his name and, you know, even just, you know, call him down. Let's see what happens. But when... And when they saw it, this is the religious crowd, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, and this is a different scenario because Jesus invites himself, right? Now, in our culture, that's sometimes frowned upon. But I've done this. But we see this incredible dynamic happening. Zacchaeus is completely, again, like probably like my neighbor in England, he's like, did not expect this at all. He just wanted to have a look. He just wanted to check out who's this Jesus guy. And then he calls him down and said, I want to come to your house. Immediately he's being criticized by people because they knew it meant something for Jesus to go to that man's house. It meant something for him to go and have a meal. And clearly, Zacchaeus also thought so because he cannot believe that he's being accepted. And he responds. He says, he repents. He says, I've done wrong things. And he says, I'm going to give it back fourfold. I'm going to give half my stuff to the poor. I'm going to change my life. And salvation comes because Jesus is willing to go into his space. Jesus was willing to go where it's not politically correct to go. Jesus was willing to go into a space knowing that he's going to be criticized, knowing it's going to be unpopular. He was willing to go into that next space. Reach out to him. Minister to him. And you know what, guys? I don't see Jesus preaching to him. I don't see him saying, listen, this stuff that you're doing must end now. There's no condemnation happening. There's no turn or burn. How would you like to spend eternity smoking and non-smoking? You know, there's nothing. Nothing like that. Okay, there's no condemnation there. There's no wrath of God. Jesus comes to his house. they have a meal together. Look at the powerful this ministry that's happening in this guy's heart right there. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Amen. Are we willing to get into somebody else's space? I was that guy at Varsity where if somebody's having a birthday party, I would phone them or text them before. We didn't have WhatsApp then. I don't actually think we had. Any case, let's just not go into that. But I would contact the person and say to them, listen, I'm bringing two other people. I know you don't know them, but they're new in church, or they've visited church, or they want to join, you know. And I'd always be great, just saying, just come along. You know, and guys, I really feel that's such an important part. You look out, who's on the side, who's on the fringe, who's knocking at the door, who's visiting, and who's not part of the family yet. How can we make everybody feel at home? So I just arrive with uninvited guests, and I would not be so popular, but that's fine, you know. But I just wanted people to come into our space, and just to enjoy fellowship with us, and just see what God does. And I really believe that God wants to establish that in our hearts, just the willingness to get into somebody's space, and the willingness to go out of our way to reach out to somebody that's maybe not feeling part of the group yet. Somebody that's visiting, or somebody that's maybe like Zacchaeus, somebody that has been rejected in the past. Somebody that's not the most popular person. Somebody that has maybe done stuff against others. You know, so people are upset with them or angry at them. Still in need of salvation. Mm-hmm. I really trust in the Holy Spirit is stirring something in our hearts. Let's stand this evening. We're going to pray. As I remember in just our early days of being a believer, and I just came into church in Stellenbosch. I said, that thing with my friend Ross really meant a lot to me. But even just others inviting me over, inviting me to a birthday, or after church going for a They had the special at Spur. I can't remember. Some burger special. Under 10 rand or something. I don't know. But so we all used to go, and everybody's welcome. That's where we're going. And even if you can't afford to eat something, you'll just go and pretend that you're fasting or something, or you have a water, or, But you want to be a part of what's happening, and everybody's welcome, and anybody visiting church is welcome to join. And such precious times. There were some of the restaurants in Stellenbosch that open up with a huge, hurrah, and then they have specials. Eat as much as you can, specials. And then they close down. Have you noticed that people don't have specials like that in student towns? It just doesn't work. People go bankrupt. In any case, but that dynamic of taking somebody with you and saying, come and join and become part of the family. Come, let's have a lunch, or let's have a coffee, or let's burn something on the fire and eat it. I remember when Pastor Sias paid for me. He always invited me to lunch, and then he could see that I'm a bit awkward. He said, don't worry, I'll pay, and then I was okay, I'll. Because at one stage I was saving up for a ring, and so there wasn't a lot of eating happening, but it's precious. It's really precious. I remember key moments like that that had an impact on me following Christ, on me becoming part of the household of faith. And I really, really trust just for the Holy Spirit to stir something in us this evening to say, I want to be that person for somebody else. Be that person that invites somebody for a coffee or a lunch. I want us to come to a place where this is part of who we are. And you know what, how easy is it just to go, leave here, jump into our cars, or especially when there's family and kids running around, you know, you just want to get some order, and it's so easy for us just to run from one thing to the next. And during the week, there's so many things happening, and even church stuff, lots of church stuff happening, and we, Anna and I, have found that it's so easy for us that 2 weeks can pass, and we realize, whoa, we've just been running from one thing to the next, and we haven't made time to sit with somebody church, or just to invite somebody over. So we have to be really deliberate about it. We have to plan ahead, which is really difficult for me. It's really, it's good. Erna's good at that stuff. I'm like, yeah, let's do it right now. Let's invite somebody right now. It doesn't always work like that. But so we have to be really deliberate. There's so many demands on our time, guys, that we have to be really deliberate about it. Plans. Okay, guys, that night we're going to have a meal. We're going to invite somebody over. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we see all over Scripture, Lord Jesus, how you came into space of others, Lord. And we are so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you chose to come into our space. You chose to leave your throne in heaven. You chose to humble yourself, becoming a servant and coming in the form of man and coming to earth, coming into our space, humbling yourself to the point of being a servant, and even more to the point of being obedient to the point of death, and humbling yourself to the place of death on the cross. God, we thank you that you made a way for us, and you came into our space, and you opened the door, and you said, this is how much I love you, and you extended that invitation to us. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, that right now you are extending that same invitation to every person in this place. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us. You love every soul in this place. Thank you that you know each heart. You know every dream. You know every fear. Thank you, God, that you love each one so much. And you desire to have a relationship with each one of us, and to be able for us to be restored to relationship with you. Thank you that you've made that way. You've made it a new and living way through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as every eye is closed this evening, maybe you're standing here this evening, and maybe you're like Zacchaeus, maybe you just wanted to see from afar, maybe you're not a regular church goer, or just wanted to have a look from far. I believe this evening Jesus is calling you, saying, come closer, come down, I want to spend time with you. Maybe this is not what you expected, or this is not what you had in mind, but right now I believe Jesus is saying, come. I want to know you. I want you to know my love, and I want you to know my forgiveness, and I want you to know my purpose, my plan for you. So as every eye is closed, if you're here this evening and you know that God is tugging at your heart, you know that your that you're not right with God right now. You don't have a relationship. Maybe you had one in the past. Maybe you were close at one point. Maybe you did have a relationship with him. But right now, you know that you're not right. know that you need, something has to change. I believe God is calling you. I believe you're standing with open arms and he's saying, come, come home. I've made a way for you. I've already paid the price. I've paid for your sin. Paid for your shame. I've made a way for you to be forgiven so that your sin will be removed from you as far as the east is from the west. So that you can no longer live under this, the law of sin and death and condemnation and shame and guilt, but I have prepared a way for you to be come into relationship with me where you can be free from sin and death, where you can be free from guilt and condemnation. It's not going to be always great in life. It's going to be hard sometimes, but you will have a freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, and you're going to have an assurance of salvation that you are born again, you are his child, that you have eternal life. And if that's you this evening and you have this desire in your heart, while every eye is closed, won't you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to just spend some time. Just have somebody pray with you for a few minutes. Is there anybody like that? I just feel right now that there's some here that have been on the fringes. Some of them felt rejected by fellow believers. Some that have come to church and have felt like they're standing on the outside, seeing how people have fellowship, seeing how stuff is going on, but they're not part of it. Maybe some that have come lonely and that have gone home lonely again. And right now, I just feel God is saying to you, to heal your heart. I want to restore. I want to renew. I want to bring you to a place where you will find your acceptance in me first, before you even become part of the family, to know that you are accepted in Christ just as you are. So right now, if that's you and you know that there's been, you've experienced some rejection in the past, maybe not even around church, maybe it's different contexts, I just feel there's a grace this evening. So just where you're standing, why don't you just, I'm not going to call you forward, but if that's you and you know that the Lord needs to do a bit of a healing in your heart, and you need to find your acceptance in Christ first before you find it in a friendship group or even in church, why don't you just where you're at, just bring your heart before him. Maybe just raise your hand for a moment, just to say, Lord, here I am. Father, you see every heart and you see every hand. In the right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, that you start a healing process, God. Thank you, Lord, that you restore. Thank you, Lord, that you were rejected. And you were tortured. You were rejected in the worst possible way so that we can be accepted just the way we are. And I speak over every heart right now that you are accepted in Christ. You are loved by God. He has paid the highest price for you. He cares for you. He knows you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you minister to every heart right now in Jesus' name. Healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. We break every hold of the fear of rejection in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your perfect love drives out every fear in the name of Jesus. Thank you that your word says, Lord, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You invite us to a feast, even in the worst of times, even in the presence of great adversity. You say, yeah, I've prepared a feast for you. I've prepared a table for you. There's an abundance. He's prepared something for you. Thank you that we can say, yes, God. Thank you. you've paid that price. Thank you that you prepared a table. In Jesus' name. Father, and I thank you right now that this evening we thank you for your word. We thank you that you stir something in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, for a boldness that we would open our space, Lord, and open our time and be deliberate around spending time with one another, loving one another, sharing meals, sharing a coffee, reaching out to those that maybe that we don't know, somebody beyond our circle, somebody beyond our comfort zone, maybe even beyond our age group or life phase, Lord. But thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you impart to us a boldness and an urgency just to love one another in a way that matters, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a grace for us to stand still in our busy schedules to say, Lord, we want to do this. We want to be deliberate in reaching out to one another, sharing time and meals and really getting into each other's space. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd show us those that you've put around us that are in desperate need of the love of Jesus. Somebody that we can invite for a coffee, maybe a colleague or a neighbor, somebody that's in physical need, somebody that we can minister to just in terms of making a meal for them, taking some groceries. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, even right now that you'd, even this week, that you'd open our eyes to see the need around us, inside the family of faith, but also beyond, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that dynamic of ministering to one another. Thank you, Lord, for boldness to be accountable to one another. Thank you for healing and miracles and salvations and ministry happening around dinner tables and around coffees and around the bright fire, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come into our fellowship, that you would be present, you would come with your resurrection power, that fellowship will turn into lives transformed because you are with us, God. In Jesus' name, let your name be glorified, let your name be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.